This is Ghost Wolf Radio. We're continuing on now at Ghost Wolf Radio here at Resist.com, part of the Insurgency Radio Network. We are continuing on with tape 4, program 7. The other side was tape 4. Well, obviously it's part of the same tape. Was program 6. I like to announce these things and maybe help Metzger keep track of some of this stuff. Guy's got a lot on his plate, so try to help him out. Let's talk about night ops. They're night ops. If you're in a cell structure, you should use some kind of challenger password. I didn't cover this before, but we had a thing called a running password. Okay. The Ghost Wolf cell leader, maybe some other insurgents, some white insurgents went to do a recon of something. And maybe they got discovered, maybe they got detected, and they're hauling ass back to the ORP. Well, you're not going to halt them, have them stop, and have them advance one to be recognized. Haul, state your business. And you know, you don't want to go through that. What you want to have in a situation like that is a running password. Okay, the Ghost Wolf cell leader went out, did his recon, but something happened. Something went south on the op. They got discovered. They were detected somehow. They ran into a patrol. Maybe they had to fire some rounds to break contact. Okay, I don't want to use it radio space to describe what break contact is. I like to maybe show you guys on Ghost Wolf video something that me and Metzger are thinking about putting together. All right. So they're hauling that back to the ORP. The patrol leader or anyone, or the first man coming back into the ORP, the objective rally point where the rest of the patrol is, they're just going to say the one word, the running password. You're not going to challenge them. They're coming through the area, and they don't want you to shoot them up accidentally, so they're going to use the running password. And it's got to be a word that has one syllable. The reason why, because these guys are hauling ass. I mean, they may be winded. You don't want them to have a running password of, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? It's got to be one syllable for running password. And you don't issue a challenge. If someone's hauling ass into the ORP, the guy who went on the patrol, the Ghost Wolf cell leader and the two other insurgents, the first man, whoever it is, don't have to be the patrol leader. First man coming into the ORP is going to say, hat, ball, beer, car, whatever. It's got to be a one-syllable word. And once you hear that word, that running password, you know better than to shoot up your own guys. Okay, so you got a challenging password. When somebody walks on your position, then you got a running password. Okay. Use buddy system if we are at a cell stage. We talked about that. Rotate watch and rest duties. Talked about that. Keep all light concealed. Make max use of hand grenades. They won't reveal your position. When moving, watch for trip wires. I think I read some of this shit, but I got it written down as notes. Use the stick and rope. Not that I talked about that. On another tape, I think. Keep quiet. Nothing above a soft whisper. Pass villages on the downside. Do not alert dogs in the village or in the town or in the subdivision, wherever you're doing. Cross roads at bends where the trail narrows. With streams, select a spot that is narrow and has cover and concealment if you have to cross a stream. With barbed wire, stay low. Silhouette the wire against the night sky to check out for booby traps and look for the configuration. Cut through the bottom strands, go through head first. Use a grass mat or a rug to throw over the wire while keeping a low profile. Okay, you throw over a rug over the wire, you check it out, it's not booby-trapped, but you don't want the wire snagging your clothing, okay? So you can, place a rug or a grass mat over the wire, and when you go over the wire, you want to keep a low profile. You don't want to be, standing erect going over this wire, okay? When I was in training in combat and cities training in Berlin. I told you guys about Reforger, Return of Forces to Germany. We went to, when I went to Germany the first time for 6 weeks, we got a chance to go to Berlin for combat in cities training and MOUT, military operations on urban terrain. Good stuff. You guys should read up on that. But we trained at the Ruhleben Fighting City in West Berlin, and that was the British MOUT site. That was the British mock city where the British Army trained for urban operations. The Brits had Ruhleben Fighting City, and the Americans had Doughboy City. And it's interesting, I noticed, that the American MOUT site, the urban training center, you know, had like skyscrapers, kind of. You know, it had like six-story buildings for helicopters to, you know, land troops on the top of it, and then they would, or rappel down at the top of the building, and then they would work, you know, clear the building down. The best way to clear a building is top-down, because if you clear bottom-up, and then you corner the guys, you know, they'll fight more ferociously. Where if you, in an urban environment, if you clear top-down, they'll be more prone, more tempted to run out of the building and into the streets where they can be shot up by your friends, okay? But it's interesting. It's like the American Doughboy City was like, looking back on it, looked a lot like American cities, whereas the British MOUT site, Ruhleben Fighting City, looked more like a European village. What if they had in mind that would be used to train soldiers for operations on American cities? But anyways, the Brits had a nice training center there. I liked it a lot. Very realistic. Okay. Okay, go a little profile. Okay, if wire snags clothing, don't jerk it. Work it loose. Okay, if you jerk it, the wire will make noise. You know, one of the ways they put early warning devices on wire is just that they hook the wire up to some like pop cans or sea ration cans with stones inside of them. You know, and you tug on the wire pulls on the trip wire, and the trip wire rattles the cans. And if that wire is under any kind of observation from enemy personnel, well, you just gave yourself up. You have to be very careful negotiating wire. Okay. When shooting, do not use sights. Use point shooting. Fight the tendency to shoot high. It's a natural human tendency that when you're, if you're in a combat situation in darkness, for some reason the human being has a tendency to shoot high. Fight that. Shoot low. It's better for you to ricochet bullets into your target than to shoot over his head by 50 feet. Okay? Alright. If on the move and you hear and you see shooting, they could be reconning by fire. So you're not going to return fire. Remember, you're the Ghost Wolf. You don't have all the resources of government funding or government resources. You know, you don't have thousands of bullets at your disposal. Okay, you have to conserve your ammo. Plus, you're guerrillas, man. You would never recon by fire, but the system could use that to draw you to fire, and then they know your position. So, just because you hear bullets or you think you're being shot at, you may not be. They may be trying to draw you out, have you start shooting so you can reveal your position. Okay, allow your eyes at least 30 minutes to adjust before a night operation. At night, use off-center vision to see the enemy in familiar shapes. Do not look directly at an object. If for some reason during the night your eye in the very center of your pupil is like a blind spot, if you're scanning your sector of fire in front of you and it's dark out and you think you see something, don't look right at it. Look off to the side of it, left or right, you know, by maybe 1 or 2 feet, you know, 1 or 2 to 3 feet. Watch it to see if it'll move. See if it takes on a human shape, you know, with the head and the shoulders and, you know, some distinctive shape, okay? Never look directly at anything if you're in darkness. Look off-center of it, okay?
your eyes will be able to pick it up better. Remember, that all came from evolution, man. You know, nature wanted us to be more at night, wanted for us to survive, you know, because we were hunted, being hunted by saber-toothed tigers and stuff like that. At night, more of our peripheral vision is more active, I believe, instead of the center of our eyes. So that little trait maybe kept us alive long enough for us to get out of the way of a lunging tiger. Okay, move eyes in short, abrupt, irregular movement over and around your target. Concentrate your attention at the target, but do not look directly at it. Pause a few seconds at each point of observation because your night eyes cannot see while in motion. Okay, talking about night ops here. Night ops. Fucking right. Alright, vitamin A deficiencies hurt night vision. But taking too much doesn't help it either. Colds, flus, headaches, fatigue, heavy smoking, heavy drinking reduce your night vision. Exposure to bright lights for extended periods of time injures both day and night vision. Okay, if temporary bright light is inevitable, keep one eye closed so when darkness is resumed, you still have some night vision. Okay? And remember, it takes like about maybe 30 minutes to get that night vision back. All right, that pretty much covers night ops. Now I'm going to be going over my notes from a book I was reading called Partisan Warfare. I read some of this book on the air a couple of shows back. And it was written by Otto Heilbrunn in 1961. Talked about the different guerrilla movements, you know, the Russian partisans, the Viet Minh, the Viet Cong. Talk about Mao a lot. Okay. Alright, ghost wolves. When he says guerrilla, I put in ghost wolf, you know, for us. Because, you know, we're going to do things different. And all these things, like when I talk about night vision, that's stuff you have to do exactly. Okay? That's not a guide. You got to know with the stuff I'm talking about, I may forget to tell you. It should be obvious to you the what's a good guide and what you should be doing verbatim, okay? That stuff I just read about night vision, about looking off-center, that's direct. You have to do it exactly that way. Now, this stuff I'm about to read here, this is a good guide. And remember, his mindset, he's talking about a guerrilla movement that has maybe hundreds of armed personnel and an actual political indoctrination and people who politically indoctrinate and, you know, they're getting the support of the people. We don't have none of that. We probably have the most unique situation of all possible guerrilla movements that could come to pass. And hopefully, this won't be a guerrilla movement that takes place just in the United States. This is an international brotherhood. This is an international order of ghost wolves. American ghost wolves are not better than the Brits. The Brits are not better than the Germans. You know, I'm reading this book, incidentally, called Bloody Hell. And it's a very, that all these war stories from different wars. And this book is just so anti-war, and rightfully so. And I was reading one story about World War One, and just these battles, man, where the Brits, Germans, and French, I think it was Verdun or something like that, where they lost a million guys in what, I think it was a week? And they reading, and part of this book, and they're reading these letters that this British soldier sent home to his wife and to his family, talking about how much he hates the war. He's talking about there was an actual place on the front where him and some British soldiers were actually conversing with German soldiers. They were actually meeting in the no man's land, exchanging bread, and, you know, the Brits were speaking in broken German, and Germans were speaking in broken English. And the guy who wrote these letters home is like, we, both sides, we hated the fucking war. We just, we just fucking hated it. And the guy who wrote these letters home is really fucking sad, man. He got killed by an artillery shell. But they had a lot of his letters he wrote home to his wife and to his uncle. And bullshit war, man. And I blame these international fucking viper ass motherfucking Jews, these bankers. They make billions off the blood of white working class people in all nations. We are an international order of ghost wolves. And we don't know each other, and that is our strength. And we're not going to worry about accountability, because we're going to be fucking active. We're going to take the world by storm. We're going to take the white diaspora by storm. The only way to get rid of us, they have to exterminate the entire white population. And they won't do that. That'll send alarm bells up all over the world. We're an international consortium. Alright, Ghost Wolf should infiltrate civil service, provide early warnings for any anti-Ghost Wolf ops, and inform on non-Ghost Wolves. Alright, you infiltrate the civil service, you pretend to be law-abiding citizens. How do you earn their trust? Well, you start narking on criminal activities of gangs of blacks and Mexicans and social Marxists and stuff like that. But you provide early warning for your Ghost Wolf comrades. Soviet partisans found it more profitable to monitor the wires instead of cutting them. Okay, they tapped into some of the German field phones and just listened to conversations and used that information to plan their operations. You should always try and find out what your enemy is up to. The Red Army Handbook for Partisans lists 7 principles of tactics for guerrilla warfare. They are intelligence. You always try to gain intelligence on your enemy. Seize the initiative. You need the will to act. What's the one word we can use in place of that? Balls. Resoluteness, secrecy, speed, and perfection. Okay. Make a false attack at one point and attack some other place else. That's tactic. That's classic guerrilla warfare right there. Okay, become visible and invisible at the same time. An example, when the enemy enters a village, strike, then disappear, and when he withdraws, pursue him resolutely. Now, as a Ghost Wolf, you can't do that with a squad. You will strike, you will disperse immediately, and the group that was pursuing you, you're going to get out of the area. You're going to go strike someplace else. That's what you're going to do. Now, these guerrillas, they're maybe got 10 guys. Well, maybe they can strike, hide when they come, to find you. And then when they withdraw, then you can pursue them, harass them again, get them to try to chase you again. As a single Ghost Wolf, you're not going to do that. Okay, you're going to strike, then you're going to hide, and you're going to get out of the area immediately, then go strike someplace else, maybe even 50 miles away. Okay. All right. Avoid a foe's strong points. Attack his weak points. Absolutely. You're not trying to compare penises and see who's bigger. You know, you got nothing to prove. Okay. They call you coward. So what? You don't have the resource they have, and they're going to call you coward. They're going to call you terrorist. That's a word that the Bush administration and everyone else likes to use with these Al-Qaeda guys. Those are cowards. I don't want to be friends with Al-Qaeda. I don't want to marry with them, or I don't want them marrying, intermarrying. But, these Islamic fundamentalists, they are not cowards. Yeah, come on, give credit where credit is due. Flying a fucking plane into a building? I'm sorry, man, that took balls. Give credit where credit is due. Alright, know when to attack and when to retreat. If foe is too tired, or if the foe is tired, attack. If he is resting, attack. If he is fired up and motivated, make him pursue you. When he withdraws, you attack. Okay, attack, destroy, withdraw in such a way that the foe cannot react. Okay? Do not fight unless success is certain. If there's not a guarantee that you can't... I mean, if you got 20 guys and you want to take over an observation post and only has 3 guys, you can succeed at that, no problem. But if there's maybe... You could take 20 guys and you could take on maybe 12 to 15 system guys. You may have them outnumbered, but you want overwhelming odds, economy of force, when you apply this stuff. Okay. Do not always use the same tactics. During battle, always stay mobile. Know when to move, back, and then forward. When to fight in a village and when to fight outside the village. If foe wants to rest, attack. If the foe attacks, withdraw. If he wants to take one road, make him take two. Split up his forces, more better chances like for hasty ambushes and stuff. Always study enemy disposition. Okay, where's he held up at? What kind of formation is he using? How many personnel can you ascertain that he has? What are his plans? Always study terrain and always study the enemy. The enemy is also law enforcement who are working for our Chinese occupational masters. Study law enforcement. Buy books on police tactics. You don't think they're going to go along with the program? They'll be used against us by the Chinese. Okay? And don't tell me there's not a Santa Claus. We must remedy our weaknesses, lack of resources, fatigue, unfavorable climate conditions, maintain the resources we have, and steal more from the system. Strive to discover enemy weaknesses. If the enemy protects himself, create an opening. Okay? One way you can do that is act like you're going to strike in the east, but attack in the west. You know, something like that. Use diversionary tactics. Harass him, disturb and wear him out, encircle and split up his positions. We disrupt lines of communication, we make him come and fix them, then we attack. For example, you know, you have a telephone pole, you have a couple, you have lines going from it, both east and west. See a couple of electronic transformers, the cylinder type things you see on telephone poles. We shoot those out, destroy them. You know, all the lights go out in like maybe a 3-4 block radius. When the Chinese occupation army sent their communication personnel, their electronic personnel to come fix that, well, we shoot them. But they're not going to come by themselves. They'll come with a couple group of guys to cover the guy while he works. Maybe you can have a booby trap on that, you know, telephone pole and stuff. Alright. When he comes to fix him, we attack, then we withdraw, make him pursue. When he reaches our position, when he reaches prepared positions that we had ready for him, then we attack. And we basically made them chase us into a position which we can ambush them from. Okay? Tactics. We use stratagems and provocation to lead him on. Kind of like what I did with that guy in the bar. Remember? Big fat Mexican guy, Jose. Those people that seek to destroy, I flatter. Absolutely. When op is concluded, prepare next one and execute it without delay, but somewhere else, okay, for the Ghost Wolf. Use face-to-face interaction. We are a non-technological communicating insurgency. Absolutely. They'll use technology to try to infiltrate us, okay? We communicate with signals, with gestures, and prearranged sentences. We must come up with special systems for alerts, questions, and answers. Like a prearranged sentence. I could have a prearranged sentence with Tom Metzger to let Tom Metzger know that I'm under pressure from the Chinese Occupational Army. I could say to Tom, hey, let's get together this week. I'll buy lunch. And once he hears I'll buy lunch, he knows that I'm under pressure. You know, something like that. I'm getting hoarse here. Why not? It's fucking 5 o'clock in the morning. Talk about insomnia. Sabotage is a form of propaganda, and Ghost Wolf must see it as a mission and strive to accomplish it. Absolutely. We don't want America to be strong. Why should these rich, elitist fucks have a nice life enjoying all their money? I mean, if America did become a hellhole, third world hellhole with fucking race, they won't be around for it. Or they'll either live in their electronic feudal estates, or they'll be on the French Riviera somewhere. But remember, in chaos, they cannot make money. Okay? So who do they got to run interference for them to keep the law and order? They got the ATF, FBI, DEA. They have Secret Service. They have fucking EPA. They're carrying guns now. I mean, you owe this system absolutely nothing. What I give them is your compliance to their slavish law and order. You don't want nothing to do with their moral code. Thanks to our contacts, you don't see behind our mask. We use info on system activities and future plans for our activity. Make the system overconfident and have him underestimate your abilities. Absolutely. If we see system booty, I'm not talking about ass here, I'm talking about gold, money, guns. We destroy what we don't need. Absolutely. We need to manufacture that shit. I mean, where the way you can wear them out economically is to fuck up shit, you know? You guys ever see those satellite dish parks? It's like a fenced-in area with like 40 to 50 satellite dishes. Chinese Occupation Army will use that. That is definitely a target of opportunity to destroy. How about a fenced-in electronic generator and transformer and stuff like that? They're usually fenced in. You got them coils, things. They got those transistors and stuff. You know, why don't the Chinese use that? We need to fuck that shit up. Okay. Alright. If in group, we withdraw using several routes, making pursuit harder. One group may stay to delay foe to ensure that our withdrawal is certain. Okay. We must establish our own fifth column. We do that by infiltrating civil service jobs, the post office. You know? We work at the police motor pool. We're great mechanics. We do mechanical work on police cars. Hell yeah. That'd be great. And you make friends with the police. They see you as a law-abiding guy who loves law and order. But you're a ghost wolf because you wear a mask. You're nameless and faceless. You're part of an international brotherhood, an order, unlike anything Robert J. Matthews ever thought about, but he would definitely be proud of. Some conditions necessary for success. Info of enemy resources. Info on enemy morale, their fighting spirit, their daily activities, routine, guards and patrols, terrain and morale of the people. Try to get to know as many of those as possible. Partisans in developed countries strive to sabotage or strive for sabotage activities, roads, railways, telephone, transport, depots, power plants, industrial enterprises of military importance. They strive to hurt the system by weakening infrastructure. Well, we're a developed country. And if we come under Chinese occupation, we need to be destroying all these things. In a war, in our war, the Ghost Wolf War, there is no front line. Everywhere's front line. You know, the football field at the high school. Shopping mall. train station, bus station, city parks, alleys, Main Street, busy intersections, back streets. Our front line is wherever we decide it to be. And they'll never know where the front line is, because we use fourth generation warfare. And if you don't know what that is, you guys should know what that is by now. You know, I tell you guys to look stuff up. Maybe you don't want to look it up. I don't know. Maybe my voice is irritating your ears. Well, no one's putting a gun to your head to listen to this stuff. So if you don't like it, turn it off. All right. Enemy base may have pseudo ghost wolf gangs roaming around at a fair distance to lull you into thinking they're comrades, but they are the enemy. Remember I talked about the they especially did this British guy made it work real well in Kenya. But no, that's with niggers, but it did work well. He had pseudo gangs act like they were part of the Mau Mau. They hooked up with other Mau Mau gangs and waited for the night to fall, and then these pseudo gangs put these other guys in, like, either handcuffs, tied them up, apprehended them. Okay? That is a phenomenon that'll happen out there. See, that's why you don't want a network. Okay? When this ghost wolf thing really takes off, shit starts happening all over the place, the system is going to send out ghost wolves to try to, you know, coordinate with us. Hey, let's build a cell, man. Well, I'm doing shit. You're doing shit. Let's do shit together. You don't want to network with anybody. We may need to stay solo for decades before it's safe to form cells. Okay? And someone far more capable and more qualified than me will talk about in a future date how to make those cells and how to get around potential pseudo gangs that the system will be throwing at us. But think about this. An enemy base, an installation, will have ghost wolf pseudo gang, fake ghost wolf cells roaming around it at a fair distance. You run into them and you think, hey, they're comrades, but they're really the enemy. They'll lull you into their confidence. Maybe they'll say, hey, man, help us out with this op. All right, you guys lead the way. And once you guys start leading the way, they're going to shoot you in the back. Ghosts or gorillas love railroad tracks in deep cuts. That's a railroad track that goes through, like, you got a hill on each side of it. So that railroad track is like in a little valley. They love railroad tracks on slopes, curves, high embankments. These are great for ambush. For gorilla ops, three groups. The assault group destroys the guard shack and the communications. The demo group destroys the target, like maybe a bridge that the train will go over. And the reserve group, well, they provide security. They're covering the roads and trails that go into that area just in case someone calls for reinforcements. They ambush it. Okay? You guys can picture that in your mind, right? Gorillas in Indochina had planks just under the surface of the water so they can be easily cross streams and small rivers, but they can't be seen from the air. You gotta give credit where credit is due. Those fucking Viet Cong, man, they were pretty goddamn sharp. And we need to be too. Absolutely, we need to be sharp. Okay. Guerrilla activity strengthen the impact of propaganda. In a guerrilla environment, system will set up self-defense groups, probably to patrol around at night. Ghost wolves should join these, infiltrate them. Alright, think about this. You got individual ghost wolves prowling around at night fucking up shit. The system starts putting together neighborhood watches, and maybe it gets to a point where they're armed. Who knows? Alright? The ghost wolf, since he wears the most awesome mask that there is, and no one would ever suspect this person of being a ghost wolf, because this ghost wolf speaks vociferously about his love for the system, the government, America, the armed forces. He flies an American flag on his car, flies an American flag outside his front stoop of his house. You know, he wears t-shirts that say United States Marine Corps forever, something like that. And he tries to volunteer for it. He volunteers for these self-defense groups. He knows their schedule. He knows where they live. He becomes friends with them. See, the ghost will be prowling around at night, and these self-defense groups, well, they'll be prowling around too. That's why you got to maximize, you got to practice what you can walking around at night in a wooded area as quietly as you can. If you guys can ever get a hold of small infrared devices so you can see at night, that'll be great. Okay? There's a thing out there, it's called a life force. It's shaped like a flashlight. And you can point it at a wood line and just scan across the wood line. You don't know what's out there. There's someone laying in a prone out there watching you with binoculars. And for some reason, it'll pick up something that's larger than 50 pounds. If you guys know what I'm talking about, find out about this, you computer savvy guys. It's called a life force. It's a device you hold to, it's like a radar type of thing that picks up, you know, heat energy that's larger than 50 pounds. It's larger than maybe a deer or something. And I guess it can distinguish between a deer and a human. I'm pretty sure it's called a life force. That'll be a good thing to have, man. Before you walk into a wood line, you fucking scan it with that thing. See if anyone's in there waiting for you. See if anyone's watching you. I guess it's good up to 50 to 100 feet. I'm not sure, but some of the smart guys in the radio club who are good with computers. It's called a life force. See what we can get a hold of one of those. Okay, they would set up self-defense groups of probably patrol around at night. Ghost Wolf cells should join these, right? Ghost Wolf activities need to be spread out over a large area. You know, if you live in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, don't do all your shit in Berwyn, Pennsylvania. Spread it out. Do some in Philadelphia. Do some in Camden, New Jersey, right across the river. If you live in Albany, New York, go over to Schenectady and do some shit. Come down to New York. Go all the way over to Buffalo. That'd be a hell of a drive from Albany. You know, about a 4 or 5 hour drive. You know, but it's worth it. Okay, propaganda must be backed up by reality. I guess basically what I'm saying is, if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it, but not in the immediate area where you put your propaganda. Back up what you say. A lot of empty threats. A lot of people like to write threats on bathroom stalls and colleges, but they don't back it up, you know? It's like to scare people. That ain't you guys, right? Right? You guys aren't into this just to scare people, right? You don't have, swastikas on your forehead, man, just so people be afraid of you. Is that why you're into this? Please tell me no. Seek to expand your radius of action. Always. Always, always. You know? Don't limit yourself to any geographic area. The world is yours. Whatever country you live in, Ghost Wolf, you own that country. You can go wherever you want. If you got GPS on your car, take it off. Or get a Ghost Wolf car that doesn't have GPS. And remember, Ghost Wolf cars, or a car you have for Ghost Wolf activity, should not be red or blue or green. Your first color choice should be black. Your second choice should be gray. And your third choice should be white. Black, gray, and white are the most common colors of all cars out there. They far outnumber anything. There's more white cars out there than red. There's more gray cars out there than red. There's more black cars out there than red. You see what I'm saying? All right, courage is not synonymous with temerity and folly. You know? You're not being courageous if you charge 10 soldiers who got guns screaming wildly. I'm not talking about an ambush. If you're being ambushed, yeah, you saw through the ambush element. But I'm talking about just charging them and just fucking shooting and they shoot you dead. You know, like Tom Metzger said one time, it takes a long time to build a soldier. You know? And that's why I'm doing these radio shows, man. I want to build soldiers out there. I want to give you advice, information that you can use, that I've used, that's worked for me. I want you guys to see how I see things. I want you guys to, when you look at a piece of terrain, you see what I see. You know, you know what to exploit. If it appears during the course of an action that the plan needs modifying, then it must be done. Okay? Don't be so bullheaded where you got to stick to your plan. You may need to modify the most best laid plan. There's nothing wrong with that. You're a wise leader if you do that. Okay. Before, during, and after an operation, be careful about what you say and how you behave. Think before you talk, and talk little. You know, after you do something, you may be shaky, you may be scared, you need to be cool, calm, and collect, casual confidence. Nobody knows nothing. They know you as Joe Schmedlap, the law-abiding citizen, the lover of civilization, the lover of Americana and everything that goes along with that. Loves his president, he loves his mayor. He loves the Chicago Cubs, even though they can't win a fucking World Series. That used to bother me for years. I don't give a god. I don't give 55 flying fucks about the Chicago Cubs. Motherfuck the fucking Chicago Cubs. I wish Wrigley Field would fucking just be destroyed. And if you guys are ghost fools out there and you're diehard Cubs fans, I don't know, guys. I don't know how you can be an avid sports fan of a team that's dominated by non-whites and be a radical white separatist. I don't know how you can do it. I was thinking about something earlier tonight. Are there any ghost wolves out there? Are there any people on this? You don't have to be a ghost wolf. Are there any people on this radio club who ostensibly believe in the survival of the white race, but you guys watch pro wrestling? Any of you guys out there like that? I mean, I don't want to step on any toes. But you do see that pro wrestling, along with reality TV, is really meant to stupefy us. I mean, TV hypnotizes us. It really does. But my own personal experience, the people I've known that watch, that are really into pro wrestling, The Undertaker and fucking Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin, these are choreographed fights. Yeah, they get hurt, but they go to a training school to learn how to take that fall. You know, how to get that cut. It's always the cut that's on a forehead. I've never seen a guy get a cut on a gash on their neck or on their liver or on the inside of their leg by the femoral artery. I never see that. It's always on the face somewhere where a cut is less likely to be life-threatening. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not trying to step on people's toes, but you got to see how that stupefies us. That in pro wrestling, you know, I got this station called the TV Guy Channel, and I have to watch it because I want to know what's on. I don't want to just be flipping through the stations. You know, it's fucking 6:55 Wednesday night. I want to see what's on at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. See what kind of shit that I can watch that I can learn from. Okay? 99% of the TV I watch is documentary TV. I just can't watch shit that's got plots with it because it's usually got a smart nigger, you know, a fucking all-knowing black judge and all this other shit, and I just can't fucking take it, you know? So, the fuck was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying. I had a point there. I mean, oh, the TV guy channel. And, you know, sometimes I gotta just sit, I mean, you know, I put the mute button on, but you know, they got the on the bottom of the screen, they got the station's channels rolling down, seeing what's on, and they go in order from 2 all the way to channel 75. I only have basic cable, I don't have HBO, none of that bullshit. But, you know, they got this thing called Flavor of Love on there. And it's Flavor Flav, this arrogant, ugly, I mean, you know, I'm not a pretty guy, but this fucking nigger is ugly. And, you know, he's got all these women to choose from, and of course, you know, there's a bunch of white women in there, along with black women, and some mulattoes, and maybe the one Asian chick who's riggerfied, or sugarfied, actually, a chigger, right? But, he's such a fucking dumbass. I mean, look what the Jews have done to our fucking television. I have to subject myself. Even though I got the mute button off, but, you know, you can see the action up above and stuff like that. And, you know, and you're trying to pay attention to the fucking TV stations and shit. But that's what's on our TV. Stupefying bullshit. P. Diddy fucking Puffy Combs got his own show on MTV, Making the Band. And that's all about some bullshit about, you know, making the band with this fucking rapper, dude. TV is getting more and more stupid. And just how much longer are we going to subject ourselves to this bullshit and stand idly by while niggers and spicks assault us in the streets, while Jews and white sellouts assault our minds through the TV, through the printed word, through the radio? I mean, how long are we going to put up with, we can't go nowhere in public because we're bound to see some white bitch with a fucking shine? I'm fucking coming home from the goddamn Radio Shack today, where I bought these 120-minute cassettes, and I'm walking behind two white kids, had to be anywhere from 10 to 12 years old, got their baseball hats on backwards, with the Bill Cannon to the right, like they're some fucking gangsters, stupid-ass fucking kids. I know if I was to fucking flex on them, I know I'd put the fear of God in them. I'm walking behind them. And the one kid, his fucking pants kept fucking, his shorts kept falling down because he's got that wigger fucking thing where the his shorts are hanging below his ass, and he had to keep pulling them up every couple steps. And they're sharing a cigarette back and forth, and they're coming from some store. And I just wanted to fucking cave these kids' heads in. I really did. I mean, what do you know? How do you fucking save our youth from that? Remember, if they learn this shit at an early age, when their minds are like little sponges, what are they going to be like when they're in their 30s? They're going to be programmed to be pro-nigger, to be anti-white separatist. I mean, you know, if I come across something like that in a stranger, I should just fucking kill kids like that. You can't fucking win them over to our side. Well, maybe not me. I mean, I won't kill them, and I don't want you guys to kill them. But if they did get killed, I would not mind. That's how bad a shape we're in. And how long are we going to put up with this shit? Huh? Before, during, and after, and not, be careful about what you say and how you behave. Right. Think before you talk, and talk little. One must be instilled with the desire to annihilate the enemy and have a strong belief in victory. That's right, annihilate the enemy. You ghost wolf should give quarter to no one. How can you look at this shit-filled society and not be filled with rage? How can you? Niggers are everywhere. very few all-white communities left in this country. You know, they had a saying about Wisconsin. Oh, there's only five black people in Wisconsin, they're all on the Packers. There's a fucking shitload of niggers in Wisconsin. Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Madison. All kind of niggers in Wisconsin. There may be only 4 million people in Wisconsin, and maybe white people may make up, I don't know, 75 to 80%. Now, I think that's a little generous, because I know there's a lot of fucking Asian up there, Hmongs, brought in by the churches. Now I got Asian gangs up there. One must be quick and decisive in action. The enemy will not be negligent for long. And that covers Partisan Warfare, written by Otto Heilbrunn. Covered a lot today. I still got counterinsurgency to talk about. Two and a half pages. Got PSYOPs. That one may amaze you. I was amazed to read this shit and see so many parallels in modern American society with the television and everything else. That's right, the system is using PSYOPs against us like we're a fucking enemy. We need to be controlled. These are the same PSYOPs that were used against the Viet Cong and stuff like that. So, but, you know what, I don't remember exactly what Kevin Spacey said at the end of, there's a movie called Seven. Has Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, they're two cops. Of course, the all-knowing intelligent cop, of course, is Morgan Freeman. Brad Pitt is the young, brash, hot-headed. I'm just tearing off the sheets that I did my shows on. I never throw them away. I burn them, and then I flush the ashes down the sink. So if anyone wants to try to get incriminating information on me, you can try to reconstruct ashes in the sewer systems of shit-ass Berwyn, Illinois. Fuck you, Michael O'Connor, the mayor, you fat 12-15-day-eating motherfucker. Just got reelected. Berwyn's still going to become highly Mexified. Hey, O'Connor, what are you doing about all these niggers moving in here?
Oh, I can't do nothing. They pay taxes and they have a right to be with me.
Fuck you. Fuck all you bastards. Maybe I need some sleep. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of watching my race lose. Tired of seeing how our race used to be a race of kickassers. I was watching this show on the History Channel the other day. I think it was yesterday. They have this series that comes on every now and then. They'll play it back to back called The Barbarians. They'll do it about the Mongols and the Huns. But they do it about the Vikings, the Goths. But there was one, I caught the tail end of it, and I was kicking myself in the ass because it looked good. I caught like maybe the last 10 minutes of the one about the Saxons. Talking about Alfred the Great. And he really wanted his people to be literate, really pushed literacy, you know, after he defeated the Vikings and got the Vikings out of Britain. And you British people, you got Viking blood in you. I hope you know that. And so do the Irish, you know. But the Saxons, man, before they went off on a raid, before the men went off on a raid to pillage, plunder, to kill people who had things that they wanted so they can survive, they were always sent off by their wives and their children, wishing them the luck, telling them that they loved them, singing tribal songs. Can you imagine that today? A group of whites going out and just taking what they need to survive? I could never do that. I mean, my family,
my fucking tolerant, preaching, apathetic, white bipeds that they are. I know it sounds rough on them, but I am rough on them sometimes. I have a niece who's just as stupid as the day is long. Grew up in the city. And maybe my sister shouldn't have lived in the city. She acts like she's black. She's got the long fingernails. She just, you know, and she married a guy who's Mexican, but he's got blue eyes, white skin, and his hair is blonder than mine. And the shape of his head isn't Mexican or anything. I mean, if me and him were walking together in the South Side of Chicago, and we were approached by niggers, they'd say, "What are you two white boys doing here?" You would never guess this guy is Mexican. The only thing Mexican about him is his last name. Which I guess they broke it off. They had six kids together. Three of those kids are not his. I'm going to tell you right now. I always thought I was the black sheep of the family. But anyways, she's hooked up with some fucking nigger that she works with at Home Depot. And they live somewhere around 24th and Western, which is a spick and nigger shithole. I don't say this for shock, but I really hope something happens to her. I hope she gets fucking murdered. And those kids, the oldest three of the kids are white, and they're just fucked up now. The kid, the oldest boy is like, I don't know, 10 or 9 now. And growing up in that environment, his mom's with this fucking nigger who's like 8 years to 10 years younger than her. What kind of environment? I mean, you know what? This is what I'm talking about. The guy that does Ghost Wolf Radio has this shit in his family. And my family doesn't seem to mind. They're like, "Well, you know, we they're kind of warning me for if he comes over for Christmas, you got to be civil now." Well, I just won't show up then. I'm at a point now where I just say, fuck my family. I'm not saying I hate them, but I've just turned them over to the beast. You know, they won't learn to listen and they got to learn to feel. But I really hope something happens to my niece. And I'm talking about something that'll just take the life right out of her. That's how much I fucking hate her. She's a fool. She's a typical white bitch that you would see on Maury Povich, if you ever watched that show. And she probably watches shit like that. That and Seinfeld. But that's what we're up against. And there's thousands upon thousands of this type of white person. And I don't know if members, my family heard this show, they would be just outraged. But I don't care. I don't care. In 100 years from now, what will it matter? Everyone in my family, even my nephews and nieces, will be dead. No one will remember that. 100 years from now, no one's going to care that I did Ghost Wolf Radio. Maybe they won't even know about that. Maybe we'll all be living in a jungle 100 years from now. I know I sound like a pessimist, but that's just how I see the world. I know I sound like I'm rambling on here, but I guess I need to purge myself. You FBI guys should be glad I'm doing this. This Ghost Wolf Radio is a real catharsis for me. You don't want me to be like Buford... What the fuck's that guy's name? Buford Furrow, I guess? You don't want me to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't plan on doing that. I don't see myself doing that. But I would love to turn on CNN one day and just hear about that all over the country. You movers and shakers, you people who control society, you all deserve to die. Every single white politician on Capitol Hill, every single one of you, Dennis Kucinich, I don't give a fuck that you spoke out against this or that. I don't care about any of you bastards. You all deserve to die. I don't care if it's by plane crash, earthquake, tsunami, fucking Mount Rainier exploding somehow, and you guys being caught in that.
I have absolutely no mercy or compassion for any of you. And that includes people of my own blood who want to make foolish decisions and bed down with niggers. What a family I come from. I mean, my family's close. We got some smart people in my family. But my one nephew, my godchild, actually, gets a master's degree in accounting and finance from the University of Illinois. And works for a big firm now, travels all over the world working on people's books as an accountant. You know, now he's dating a Hindu. I don't give a fuck if she comes from money, her father's a lawyer and her mother's a lawyer. I don't give a rat's ass. She's brown. And if that sounds close-minded, I don't give a fuck. Any of you out there who may happen to catch this, who are of the social Marxist kind. For Morris D's, wherever you are, I hope that the day greets you with tragedy, heartache, and wrath. Tim Zoll, TJ Lydon, Dave Mazzella, Tom Bitch-Ass Martinez, I hope somehow your family experiences a tragedy. They say when you say things like this, you release evil in your own life. Well, you know what? I'm not a turn-the-other-cheek kind of guy. I'm not one of these guys that's going to, you know, turn the other cheek and hope I get my recompense in the next life. What a real sham Christianity is, huh? You think? We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Cuffy knock them. Seize the night. Wake up, monsters with white skin. Time for the battle to begin. Time for us to not sit quietly. No more time to be polite. Sharpen up those blades. No more tolerance. Tolerance is suicide.